Is true. Your faithfulness is perfect. Your faithfulness is strong. When we are faithless, you are faithful. When we feel hopeless, you are the God of hope. God, thank you that even in this Passion Week, what happens next points to the God of hope. It points to the faithfulness of being the Messiah, the one who would provide salvation for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. See, each night in this holy week, Jesus and the disciples would return to Bethany. Every single night, they would go out to the village where they would sleep, and then they would come back into town, except on Wednesday. As we make our way to Wednesday, they did not leave Bethany. They remained in Bethany. Now, Jesus basically spends the day preparing for what we would know would be the Passover that was to come the next day. Wednesday is really known as the silent day in the scriptures. The Bible doesn't tell us anything for sure that happened on that Wednesday. But we can make some probabilities. Most likely, Jesus was preparing for the Last Supper. And most likely, Judas was preparing to betray Jesus. Think about the contrast of those two things. And then we get to Thursday, and we know what happens on the Thursday, the day of the cross. Jesus, the day before the cross, the day of the Lord's Supper, Jesus is preparing to show us this beautiful picture. It's as if he's painting a portrait of the gospel on this Thursday. As he prepares for the Passover meal with the disciples, the Passover lamb at some point on that day that they were going to share was slaughtered. Jesus knew when that happened that he would be the lamb tomorrow, the next day. As the meal began, They were reminded that the original Passover was so that Moses and the Israelites could escape the wrath of God. And then Jesus, at the end of this meal, takes the cup of the Passover and he drinks the wrath of God. He begins the process of helping them to see of all the ways their life was going to be turned upside down the next day. It was all for the glory of God and for the salvation of mankind. Jesus' first miracle recorded in the Bible was turning water into wine. And now here, the night before he dies, he takes the cup of wine and uses it as a lasting memorial of salvation. What was coming, the greatest miracle of all. We will now celebrate communion together. And I would encourage our chairman of deacons, Mark, Davis, and Justin, to go ahead and prepare the elements here together while I'm talking. And men who are going to help serve, if you'll make your way down front, those that are coming. Let me share with you a little bit about what we do. Everything we have sung today, every scripture we have read is leading to this moment. Now, I'm not telling you that the Last Supper looked like a table set just like this. In fact, they would have reclined much differently, celebrated the entire meal. As part of that meal, they would have celebrated what we would know as the Passover Seder and all the things that took place. It was extremely symbolic for Jesus. It was extremely symbolic for all of those Jewish disciples. It meant something to them, but it would take on a new meaning forevermore. And so now we, 2,000 years later, are still celebrating the same way it was being celebrated before. We have before you elements. We have the element of the bread. It's unleavened bread. It's a reminder of the Passover meal, but it's also a reminder of the body of Christ that was broken for us. We also have the cup. We have juice. And it is a reminder of the blood of Christ that was shed for you and for me. If you're here today and you're a guest, we would say to you that we practice open communion. And what that means is this. You don't have to be a member of our church to partake. You simply need to be a follower of Jesus. The scripture's clear about that. So if you have Jesus in your life, we invite you to celebrate together. We will look back and remember the cross as we take the bread. We will look back and remember the sacrifice as we take the juice. We will look forward in remembering the fact that it leads to salvation for mankind. And we will celebrate in our own lives maybe a need of repentance, maybe a need to stop and celebrate our own salvation, all the things that God has done for us. And so we will first distribute the element of the bread. And as the men distribute the bread, we would invite you to listen to the songs that are going to be sung. And in doing so, hold your bread until the end, and then I'll read a scripture and we will take together. Let's pray. Father God, as we pass out this bread, may we be reminded that it is a beautiful symbol of the body of Christ broken for us. May we be reminded of all you have done to help us draw near to you so that we can know you. We celebrate together now. Amen. In the cross, be my glory.
cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seems before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows on me. And near the cross I'll watch and wait,
verse 22 says, and as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, this is my body. Now, as we distribute the elements of the juice, I would encourage you as you receive that, and as we will be singing, Jesus Paid It All together, to think through those words, to focus on the price that was paid for you and for me. Please hold until the end and we'll take together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Let's sing that verse again. Stand with me if you would and win before the throne.
And win before the throne. I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
Sing it out, church.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Mark chapter 14, verse 23 and 24. It says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. You may be seated. So now we close with the cross. We move from the Last Supper to the cross. Now think about this. We started the week riding on a donkey. Jesus on the donkey. It was a symbol that was designed to tell a story. You see, in the days of Jesus, it was understood that a conquering king would come riding into town after a victorious battle on a colt that had never been ridden. It would be on a foal of a donkey. This is what would happen. And so a soldier would go out to battle somewhat on a horse, but the king would come back on a donkey. It was a symbol of victory. So Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey was really a prophecy, yes, from Zechariah, but it was also something that would be understood by the people who lived there as they were, he had a following with him. They would understand he was announcing who he was, even though they didn't fully understand it. That happens on Sunday. On Thursday, we have the cup. On Friday, he goes to the cross. On Sunday, We know what's coming next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Amen. The tomb is empty. But we don't just celebrate communion so that we can look back to what happened. We also look forward to another day that has not come yet. You see, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. But in the book of Revelation, it says he will return on a white horse. He will return dressed in white. He will return with the flaming sword from his mouth. He will return with the names King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his thighs. He will return as the conquering king who will no longer be spat upon, beaten. His beard will not be plucked. No one will lay a hand on him. No one will use his name in vain. No one will speak negatively of him. He returns again as that same conquering king who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, but this time he returns as the ultimate Messiah King. And so that's what we celebrate as the church. That's what we know to be truth. That's why we gather together. There are those who would drive by this place today who would not understand what we do. This would seem like liturgy and just religious duties that don't make sense to them. But the reality is we know that this represents the truth of who we are. Because if it weren't for the cross, there could be no resurrection. If it weren't for the resurrection, there'd be no returning king. And so we celebrate the only one who could bring us new life, the Messiah. We celebrate him together today. But before we can celebrate the fact that he will return again, I do want us to take just a moment to stop and reflect on the idea that the payment he made for our sin was costly. The cross was painful. I'm going to read a scripture to you. In Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 33, it says, "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Why did God forsake his son? It's because of you and me. He took the price for us. He took the punishment that you and I deserve. You see, Jesus, using that phrase, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He takes it straight from Psalm 22. If you have a paper copy of a Bible, you may have a tablet or a phone or something. That's fine. That's just as real as the paper. But if you have a paper copy, open your Bible to Psalm 22 really quickly. There's a reason I'm asking you to do this. If your Bible is like mine, when I open to Psalm 22, and I read the words, the prophetic words that say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can look across the page on that same page. I can look on the same page just across the way. And I can read those words that say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. In Psalm 23. See, I don't think it's a mistake that those two psalms are side by side. That we have my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right next to the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I don't know about you, but there are days in my life that I feel like I could live out both of those scriptures. But here's what I can say to you today, how they have been lived out in the life of Jesus for you and for me. Your pain, your disease, your turmoil, your addiction, your situation, your mind, we can all relate to Psalm 22 in some ways. We can all relate to the idea that at some point, some of life is bigger than we are, and it seems as if God cannot be found. But the reality is, he's never forsaken you or me. It's because of his son Jesus and what he did for us. And so because Jesus endured the pain of Psalm 22, on the left side of your page, because Jesus endured the pain of Psalm 22, we can know the peace of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. On and on. What a beautiful reminder that the God of peace was first the God of wrath. That the God who brings peace was first the one who took the wrath that was deserved for you and for me. What a blessing we have in who he is. As we draw to a conclusion today, would you agree, oh, how we love him, how good he is? Would you sing, as we draw to a conclusion this morning, the song that we all know, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Would you sing that with us? Just lift your voice in praise. Let's sing together, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My grace.
Our service this morning, the invitation is this. As we dismiss, I'll be down front. If you're here today and you say, I'm touched by the scripture, by what Jesus did for me, I want to give my life to Jesus, please come see me. I'll be right here. I'd love to share with you how you can have a relationship with him. Maybe God's leading you to come and unite with our faith family, where we can celebrate communion in our everyday living as well as with the elements together. We would invite you to come and just see me and tell me you'd like to be a part of our faith family. We'll make that happen. Maybe there's something else I can pray for you about. Justin and I will both be right here. We'll be happy to speak with you and help you if we can. Let me remind you as we leave, and we're going to sing that last verse in Mansions of Glory. We'll sing that last verse as we are headed out the doors together. But before we do, let me remind you to take that little card, give it to a friend. Let me also remind you that we'll be receiving our offering this morning at the door. There'll be men at each of the back doors and at this side door. We'd encourage you with your faithfulness in giving. We use that for ministry here and around the world. Please continue to be faithful to do so. We would encourage you to invite a friend to be with you next Sunday. And one last request, if you are an able-bodied member of this church, we're going to ask you very specifically to park as far away from the building as you can next Sunday morning. Let's leave our closer spots for the number of guests that we're going to have, and also for those who it's a struggle for them to come in. Now, if you need to park close, you park close. But otherwise, do me a favor. Join me in making your way to the outer parts of the parking lot next Sunday. It'll be a great way to start off our week together as we journey inside the building together. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for celebrating the Lord's Supper in this special way throughout our service. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to sing that last verse together as you are dismissed. Let's pray. Father God, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the conquering King. You sent your son to be our Messiah. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that we can celebrate the elements together. Father, I pray if there's one here that needs to make a decision for you, that they would come. Father, if there are others here, if they're just trying to discover who you are, they have questions, that they would come and speak to Justin or myself. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship together and sing these songs and lift up these verses. May we leave here today with the excitement of what this last verse says. May we be reminded of the one that we love and oh, what you've done for us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.